Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning into our Talent Advantage Path podcast series. This is part one of a two-part podcast series on how to become a better job candidate by showing thought leadership, team building, and self-development. Make sure to follow us to receive updates on our next upcoming podcasts. Today's topic will be on reflections and career planning. We have two special guests and also a special guest moderator. I'd like to introduce Kanitha Butler, who is the National Director of Recruiting here at Analysts and ACS Core.
Hi, I'm Kanitha. I have been in the recruiting world for about 15 years, reside in Plano, Texas, and absolutely my passion to help others find their career path.
Thank you. And with us today is Julie Ganeshow from Analysts. Julie is our senior IT recruiter who recently celebrated 14 years with Analysts.
Hi, everyone. I'm Julie Ganeshow, coming from Lexington, Kentucky.
Thank you. And from Ascent, we have Diane Douglas. Diane is the recruiting manager for the Denver IT team.
Hi, I'm Diane. I have been recruiting for 23 years, and I've been with Ascent for 14 years.
Thank you so much, Diane. Sharing more about our Talent Advantage Path, this is our program to help out candidates and job seekers and to make themselves more marketable by pursuing leadership, volunteer, and self-development opportunities outside of work by expanding their resume and portfolio. We encourage you to learn more about TAP from our website on analysts.com as well. So without further ado, let's get into our questions to our expert recruiters. Kanitha, take it away.
Hi, thank you, Amy. So as you know, now is a difficult time to be job searching with so much of the U.S. population unemployed and searching for work. Companies are also struggling as well to find the right job seekers. So with that said, let's start with the companies. What are employers actually looking for?
You know, I find that there are a couple things they look for. The first one being a strong experience match to the role, which is kind of goes without saying, but also the fit of the candidate within their company's culture and the particular team. Another part is soft skills, and that's really critical. So they're looking for people with great attitudes, some people that, you know, someone that's motivated, willing to learn, et cetera. So those are some of the things that I've noticed.
I'm finding that in this job market, a lot of times they are looking for the perfect candidate and they don't want to settle for someone that doesn't have everything that they're looking for. And it's a very specific search for a very specific person. Another thing that I've noticed is that when someone interviews with a panel, there needs to be a consensus among teams. Frequently, if one person on the panel doesn't like you, you're not going to get the job. So it's important in an interview to try to make some kind of connection with everyone on the panel.
I agree. So thank you. So what trends are you seeing right now about job placements? And like, what positions are you seeing are more high in demand at this current time?
So right now I'm working on development, a lot of agile roles, security and network roles, QA, computer systems validation. I have a big 5G wireless project, a rollout that I'm working, so dealing with a lot of telecom and network people. How about you, Julie?
I'm seeing a lot of cloud-related positions currently, so anything from pure developers to DevOps to architects, project and program managers. We have one major client right now who's going through a huge modernization effort, and they're moving everything to Azure. So there's a high demand for Azure right now, not only with that one client, but with a lot of other clients that I have.
Right. I can totally see that. I also can see where, you know, there's going to be a lot of need for creative design, UI developers, a lot of, you know, different things like that, because marketing is going to become something that companies are going to start doing just so they can pick up their traction and, you know, getting their branding done and making sure that they get out there and rebuild some of the business that they've lost during this time, right?
Yeah. You know, one of the interesting facts is before COVID, it was a candidates market. There were more jobs than candidates available. So candidates usually had multiple job offers or options to consider. Now, just a few months later, we have complete opposite. You know, we've got more candidates competing for fewer jobs. And because of that, employers kind of have their pick. You know, they seem to be moving slower to make hiring decisions. And, you know, they want to make sure they get the right candidate. So they may interview more than they normally would have because there's availability there.
Right. I think some of the slowdown too is them transitioning from being on site to off site and making sure everyone's set up and security set up for all of their internal technologies and things like that.
I think you're right. That was a big effort for companies to get set up to have everyone working remotely. I was kind of surprised it went as smoothly as it did across the country.
Right. It did. I mean, we have facilities here in the US and in India, and the quick turnaround that we had was absolutely amazing and pretty much flawless. And I'm thinking a lot of companies had to do the same, but also now working with full-time employees versus contingent, there's a little bit more work that goes into that. And I think they're just being more thoughtful about that process. So let's talk about that. There's a lot of jobs out there right now, but there's even more candidates than we have jobs. What can candidates do right now to help them stand out against the crowd?
You know, I think it comes down to social media. And for me, the biggest one would be LinkedIn. You know, LinkedIn is the place that I go to. It's the first place I go to, actually, when I'm looking for candidates for my IT positions. So make sure you're updating things. Update LinkedIn. Make sure it's current. Mark yourself as open to opportunities. One thing that I want to mention that's small, but it means a lot, is to make sure that the information you have on your resume matches what you have on LinkedIn, especially as it relates to your employers and dates. Dates are critical. I actually had a guy that lost out on a job because his dates of employment on his LinkedIn did not correspond with his resume.
Right. I've seen that as well. I've also seen candidates lose out because they have things on social media that they shouldn't. And it's offensive and it's considered a risk to those employers. And I've actually had to rescind offers for that before as well. So that's very important.
I've seen that too. So that's across the board. Everyone has experienced someone having something out in social media that costs them a job. And I agree, it's important to network on LinkedIn. I have over 16,000 connections right now. I think that it's also important to tailor your resume. If you're trying to stand out, you want to get the opportunity to stand out. So if you don't tailor your resume to fit the job description, whoever you're working with, recruiter, HR, is not going to get the connection to the job. Don't send a generic job that doesn't make a connection. And the more that you make that connection for me, the more likely I'm going to look at you. So if you call me and say, I saw your position, I'm a great fit for this, and here's why, or if you email me the same thing, you're going to stand out and I'm going to pay attention to you. If you're doing an interview, you should research the company and the people. Remember I said previously, it's important to make a connection with everyone on the team. Well, it's a lot easier if you both went to the same school. And you can say, hey, I noticed we both went to Rutgers together. It's a lot easier to make that connection if you know something about their background that you can talk to them about.
Yeah, and you can check, you know, a lot of times you'll get a manager's name that you're going to be speaking with. Check them out on LinkedIn. We have a lot of folks that will do that. And again, you can find those connections just like you were talking about, Diane. And as far as interviews go, they're just so critical and it's so important to prepare. You know, make sure you have the job description and have specific examples of things, projects that you've worked on that directly relate back to that job requirement. Have an example of one that wasn't successful, because I've had that trip people up during interviews so often. So there are so many things that, and that's our job as recruiters really, is to prep our candidates as best we can for an interview. But there's so many things that you need to be aware of before you go into the interview.
I agree with that. It's true. People are, they're prepared to tell what their achievements were, their accomplishments were, but not necessarily what their failures are. And so I actually, in my interviews, ask, what's your biggest mistake and what did you learn from it? Because if someone hasn't made any mistakes, they probably haven't gotten deep enough in yet, right? And to learn from it, I mean, that's the most valuable experience that you have. I agree.
It's also important to have questions to ask.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There have been times when my team has interviewed people who didn't have questions. We typically don't go forward with that person.
Right.
And also, you should write a great thank you note for every interview. It doesn't have to be a book. You thank them for their time. You make a connection with your background with the job, you tell them how much you enjoyed meeting them, and you say you look forward to next steps.
Right.
Thank you very much.
And you can reiterate too why you feel like you're a good fit. So once you've, you know, been there and talked about it, and you know, give examples. I feel like I'm a great fit because, and this is how I feel like I can add value. You know, what are the next steps? I agree.
You know, right now we're seeing very few in-person interviews, and we're seeing a lot of video interviews.
Yes.
And it is so critical that candidates treat it like it's an on-site interview. You know, dress the way you would have dressed had you gone on site. Eye contact's important. Don't have two monitors and be looking at the other monitor. You know, we've had that happen before. So, you know, make sure you're looking directly into the camera. Smile. It's all the things that you would do if you were sitting in front of that hiring manager.
It's always best to practice that ahead of time. So if you're going to have a video interview, do a video chat with a friend who will give you feedback on how you look and how you're presenting yourself and how the lighting is. Lighting's important too. So if you have a video interview, look up video interview tips and how to best present yourself online.
I agree. So if a candidate wants to grow in their career, you know, maybe that they're on furlough or they were riffed, or maybe they're in a role right now, they're doing great, but they want to be able to grow and move to that next level in their career. What are some things that they can do to leverage that?
So the most critical thing is probably networking. Network, mm-hmm. network, network. Get to know everybody. Reach out to your network and let them know you're looking for the next step in your career. Get to know everyone in your company. Who knows? There might be something great in your company that's the next step for you, and it's not necessarily sitting in your department. It's always good to find someone to mentor you, someone who has taken the steps to get to the place that you want to get. How did they get there? If you can find somebody to mentor you, that's a great thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then certifications, you know, if you're wanting to pursue certain certifications that will help you, if it's PMP or Scrum Master or Microsoft certifications or whatever they might be, actually, join local chapters. You know, you've got the, you know, different things in your community that you can join up with, like the local PMI or IIBA or, you know, again, whatever it might be. So those are some things, too, that can help get you connected.
Absolutely. I think too, if you are out there still interviewing, one of the things that, you know, I talked to a candidate recently that really impressed me. And it was that during the interview with the internal recruiter, the recruiter asked him about several different skills and that he did not have. And so the recruiter had taken those notes. And when the manager was meeting with them, he asked the same question. He goes, I understand that you don't have much skills in that. He goes, well, as of last week, I didn't. This week I do. I went and had my sort of, I did a certification and did the homework. And that's it, is they want to see that people are engaged and they really want to see that they're really going to put the time and the effort in to do their best and put their best foot forward. And things like that definitely make you stand out.
That's a great story.
Yeah, it was a great story. I was very impressed.
So really amazing responses. I really love what I'm hearing from Julie and Diane. But looping back to TAP, one of the things that our program proposes is that team development, leadership experience, sitting on a board or volunteering can help someone stand out from the crowd when applying to jobs. So I wanted to ask, what are some other ways that you can recommend that job seekers utilize the components of TAP to get better recognized?
So I think that whoever came up with the TAP program is a genius, because I have had so many conversations with candidates over the years on how can I get to the next step in my career. And here are so many opportunities to get to that next step and better yourself. So part of TAP is to do volunteer work. Well, not any kind of volunteer work. You should be smart in your volunteer work and find something that's going to help you get to the next level in your career. And the best example I can think of is the many, many conversations I've had with business analysts or project coordinators who are trying to work their way into a project management position. And they just have not managed a project. And it's a catch-22. If you haven't managed a project, you can't be a project manager. So if you manage projects for volunteer organizations, you can put on your resume that you manage projects. And voila, you are a project manager. And if you're doing that in the industry that you work in or the industry that you want to work in, you're getting industry experience. So you need to be very smart in your volunteer work and make it count for you.
Yeah. And I don't know that I can add a whole lot more to that. I think the thought leadership, you know, contributing to blog articles, writing white papers, researching other thought leaders and following them, watching, reading what they put out, you know, those are all things that we can do to kind of, you know, develop ourselves as leaders in our community.
It's like smart networking.
Yeah, absolutely.
Networking on steroids.
Right. Awesome. So switching just gears for a bit, recruiting, you know, it's not for everyone. It really does take a special skill set. There's a different heart that goes into it. It's honestly a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. The roller coaster of all careers, I would say, because there's a lot of highs, but there's also lows. Why do you recruit? What has made it something that you've made a career in your own life? And what of the difference have you made as so far as recruiting in someone else's life?
You know, I think for me, it's just, it's helping people. You know, it's kind of in my DNA. It's something I enjoy doing personally as well as professionally. I started off in human resources and, you know, loved the part about bringing people on board, didn't so much love the part about laying people off. So when I got the chance, I actually was forced into rethinking my career and got a chance to move into recruiting. The one thing I love is being able to, you know, have a position that will make somebody happy. And, you know, and it's on both sides, right? Our client is happy with the person we provided them, and the person that we are able to place is in a role that they are passionate about and love. And it's just, it's the greatest feeling when you can do that.
I agree. I think I love everything about recruiting. I think my favorite part is making the connection with the people on the phone and getting to know people all over the country. I always tell people I can go anywhere in the country and go to happy hour with someone that I've made a connection with.
Right.
There's a lot of people out there that want to go to happy hour with me.
I'll go to happy hour with you.
And on the geek side, what I like about recruiting is it's the same thing. You know what to do. You're struggling. I'm not getting anywhere. I don't have anything going on. What do? You pick up the phone and you start talking to people and make a great connection and start submitting them in. I always know what to do to get something going. And I just love that about recruiting. And yes, it's great to place people and get back to them. I just had a woman go perm that I've been working with for years. She was my hiring manager. When she was laid off there, I placed her in a contract position. And I had also placed her husband at Amgen. And she sent me the loveliest note when she went perm. And I know that if I go to Thousand Oaks, I'll be looking them up and probably will go out to dinner.
No, absolutely. I think that's the biggest thing is it's a chance to make a difference in someone else's life. You know, it's, you know, you get to take a chance on building that, you know, that trusted partnership. You get to know a little bit about them. You get to humanize the process for them, right? It's not a transaction. These are relationships that we're building. And whether we're able to help place them in one of our roles or somewhere else, it, you know, it's bridging that relationship for years to come. There's a couple, you know, I think back of some of the different stories that I have from recruiting. And, you know, I have one as much as, you know, someone that had called me for a program management role, and I could literally hear the guns going off because he was in Kuwait, and he was a civilian, but his wife had just had a baby and he wanted to get back home. And so I was able to place him, and just hearing him so excited, you know, knowing his story. Right. And then I've had a manager that I placed years ago that actually contacted me just a couple of years ago. And her thing was that she was about to have to do a layoff. And, you know, one of the people that were on her team was young, and she felt really bad about it and wanted to really mentor him. So she went and bought a shirt for him, a dress shirt for him to interview, and called me and asked me if I would help give him interview tips before she even let him know about the layoff so that she could set him up for success. The fact that she thought of me to do that, I can't even tell you how much that made my heart smile. I mean, it's those kind of stories that really weave together our relationships and our career with all these people that are, you know, able to go out and continue their career, or, you know, we're able to get them a job right before their mortgage payment, you know, is before they go into foreclosure. There's just so many things that we don't realize that we do to help people unless we slow down and build those relationships and make sure that, you know, everyone counts. So do y'all have any other advice for people who are currently looking for a job, a career, or a change that are trying to get out of unemployment and back into work?
Yes. It's a job to look for a job. So you need to set a certain number of hours aside every day. And unless you're just a horrible morning person, I would do it first thing in the morning. And then I would also set a certain number of hours aside each day to do something to clear your head and relax, because it can be very stressful to look for a job. And remember, recruiters are there to help. So get to know the recruiters in your area. I'm always happy to answer anyone's questions while they're looking for a job, even if it has nothing to do with me and my jobs. So get to know the recruiters.
Yeah, I think taking a step back, I mean, this is a good time to take a step back and figure out what you really want to do in your next role. You know, you may make a list of companies that you want to work for, you know, that kind of thing. And if that's the case, then go out and investigate them. Check out their websites, check them out on Glassdoor, which is a great website with some valuable information about company culture and salaries, questions they ask during interviews, which is very cool if you can get that, employee reviews and so forth. So that's a cool place to go to get some information on companies you're interested in. Follow those companies on social media, follow them on Facebook, follow them on LinkedIn. Those are some of the things that I think you can do. One thing I want to mention, it's kind of a small thing, but it's really important, because I see this, and Diane, you probably do too, is a lot of times we go in and we'll see that a candidate has applied to like 30 jobs in our jobs database. And I'm telling you, most of them are not, they did not look at that job description because they're nowhere near qualified.
Yes.
And unfortunately, what that does for me is it causes me not to even, they may be qualified for one or two of them, and I'll just bypass it. Anybody that blankets it. So just be choosy, you know, apply for the jobs that you're qualified for. That's just a small tip. I think it would make a difference for some people. So
that's a good tip, Julie.
So, you know, we've talked about, you know, what the reason why that you love recruiting, what your passion is. What do you feel like differentiates Analyst from other staffing agencies? Why are we different as a whole?
You know, I think that we place high importance on the people that we serve, our candidates. You're not just a piece of paper. You're not just another name to us. It's relationship building. It's professional development. It's redeployment. You know, all the things that we can do to make you successful, which in turn makes us successful. And then also the people we work with, you know, Diane and I both been here for a long time. And, you know, this place is home to me. I mean, we have a really good company culture and great people that we work with. So those are some of the things I can come up with.
I second that.
Awesome. Wow. So thank you so much for all of the amazing tips and advice that you all have shared. Thank you, Kanitha, so much for moderating. Just to summarize some of the really great points that you all brought up, I'm hearing that there needs to be a consensus on the team and that you need to make a connection with people when you're interviewing. Hearing that employers are definitely taking their time interviewing and having a slower interview process since things have really changed, and it's definitely now an employer's market rather than a candidate's market. And I'm also hearing the importance of social media, making sure that it's updated, that LinkedIn is correct, and also that it's important to list the soft skills that you also have and give the big picture. Another really great tip that I like was to make sure to act as if you are on an on-site if you're doing a video interview, and also to look up interviewing tips specifically for a video interview, and to network, and to remember that volunteering can really help you to get to the next level in your career, especially when it comes to adding experience that you haven't been able to get in working at your jobs. So this is super helpful. I also want to remind our listeners to check out our website again for some more resources, and to check out our companies, Analysts and Ascent, for more about how we can help you find the right business and technology resources to match you up with the perfect job. So follow us on this podcast channel and also our social media at Analysts and Ascent. Our next podcast will be on becoming a thought leader, in which we'll be interviewing two people who are leaders in their industry and field. So thank you so much again, Julie. Thank you so much, Diane and Kanitha, on being great speakers. And thank you to our listeners. We'll see you soon on our next podcast.